Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, Ter.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. This is Teron Davenport, your host. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Elijah Campbell over there hitting the switches, making this thing happen. Man, we got a dope show coming up for you. We're going to keep working through these prospects, man. It's a field one this go round. We got D. Anderson, Alabama A&M wide receiver via LSU and Oklahoma State. Then we got a local product in Obinna Eze, Davidson Academy. He went to TCU. He's a tackle that, you know, will be at the Titans pro day, local pro day. And we're going to wrap it up with Marquise Hayes, Oklahoma guard. And ladies and gentlemen, this is my number three rated guard in this draft class. So it's good to be able to talk shop. I'm looking forward to that. But before we move on to this prospects, we need to talk to forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. It's time for Run TMC. Let's get that music.
DMC. For you.
Uh-oh. Here they come. The music fades. The lights dim. Do. And now, starting at shooting guard. For your Golden State Warriors, number 17, Mario Ealy.
And now, one of the Jackson Five, Jermaine Jackson.
Slow down, Tito Dale.
What's up? How do you say it?
Slow down, Tito. Damn.
What's going on, man, with you, man? What's the word?
Hey, nah, the word is Thunderbird. Hey, I tell you what, the word is A.J. Brown. That's the name. I mean.
What is going on?
Look, I'm not going to indulge in the trade stuff. That's
But it might happen, though.
Man, that horse has been beaten until it can't be
crazy stuff, though.
Beaten anymore. Let's talk about contracts, and I think it's right to do that. Why? Well, it's pretty simple. You got Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm seeing various reports. I mean, one said 4 years, $96 million. Another said 4 years, $104 million. Mm-hmm. Either way, that man got paid.
Yes,
I know
sir.
My guy Tory Dandy is somewhere rubbing his hands together like Birdman because he has A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf,
Ooh.
And Deebo Samuel. And I'm not saying those three guys will get that deal. But still, each of them were going to get at least $20 million a year, and Torrey's going to continue to eat, man. That's the wide receiver agent. But when you look at these deals, right, you look at Stephon Diggs, his deal. Now, obviously, A.J. Brown, you know, as much as I like his game, it's not right there on Diggs' level yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's still ascending. But what do you think that does for the A.J. Brown deal?
Oh, man, I mean, it helps his case because you're going to have to pay him because, you know, A.J. Brown is a vocal point of this Tennessee Titans offense. And just look at some of the names that aren't as big as Diggs that are getting paid. Look at Christian Kirk, 4 years, 72. Cedric Wilson, 3 years, 22. Juju, one, you know, for $3 million. I know that's kind of low, but you got Allen Robinson, 3 years, $46 million, 30 guaranteed. So when you're looking at those contracts, you don't think A.J. Brown is licking his chops like, whew, I'm about to get paid? Because look at, I know everybody's like, well, he gets hurt all the time and this, that. That's great. But if you look at the roster of the Tennessee Titans and the receivers they have, Dez Fitzpatrick, you got Racy McMath, Josh Malone, you know, Mason Kinsey, that's kind of bare. I know they signed Robert Woods, but that just shows you how important that A.J. Brown is to the team. He knows he's going to get paid.
Without a doubt. And I think when you look at A.J. Brown, You know, there's different things that stand out for me. Obviously, the injury thing is something that, you know, it has to be worked through, and it's something that I think you have to manage him correctly. Mm-hmm. The relationship with Tannehill is there. So that's
absolutely.
Practice time is not going to be as imperative as it would for, you know, other guys. However, I say all that to say this. There are other contracts to watch as well. And I think when you look at, you know, Chris Godwin, you look at Mike Williams, you know, these guys signed. This was their first contract, you know, coming out of, you know, after being drafted. Uh-huh. And 3 years, $60 million. You're looking at $40 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Torrey Dandy represents those guys as well. I think that is pretty much the absolute floor. Like, if I was Torrey and AJ and they came to me with a Christian Kirk level deal, I'd tell them, man, y'all got to kick rocks. You know what I mean? Like, I am not even going to entertain that.
Right.
The floor is 3 years, $60 million. The floor is $20 million a year. Now, yeah. When I look at that, right, AJ is 24 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. I look at that, you sign that three-year deal, you know, along those lines, and you can make it even more, you know, you right. could tack on the inflation. All right, 3 years, I need to do 3 years, $75 million, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, with X amount guaranteed. But here's what happens. You work through that three-year deal, and what do? You set yourself up to sign another one.
Yep.
I think you have to look at it like that, and I think if you look at over the next 3 years, if healthy, A.J. Brown could elevate himself to a legitimate top five level receiver. I talked to him at locker cleanup, and he said his goal is to be top two. So if he could do that over the next two or 3 years, now you come back to the tail and you're like, hey, listen, you know, I need that 5 year, $160 million. I need you to guarantee 80 to 90 of it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if he's not in the top 10, is he worth that money? Because I'm going to name a couple of receivers. You got Devontae Adams. You got Cooper Kupp. You got Deebo Samuel. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Hunter Renfrow, Chris Godwin, and Hopkins from Arizona. If he's not in the top 10, should he be paid as a top 10 wide receiver? So that's the question that we need to know. We know he's good for the Tennessee Titans. We know that. We already know that. But overall, is he one of the best receivers in the league for them to pay him that type of money?
I think it's all relative. Right now, probably I wouldn't go to the Diggs level of the contract, right? But I think it's all relative. And I'm gonna put this out. Okay, you look at remember the 49ers game? He accounted for 69% of the Titans receiving yards. That was the highest percentage by any player the whole season. And you look at the percentages – the whole year, he accounted for three of the five highest percentages.
Yeah.
You know, this team is 11-2 in the 13 games that he played last year.
Wow.
So I think, you know, yes, we're talking about a guy who's not top 10, but he's number one on this Titans offense. Because remember, this was happening when Derrick Henry wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's just sometimes it's like, the availability. I mean, I understand
you can't control
you're getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't control that. But last year, you know, he took over a couple of games. But when you're talking about the elite of the elites, like the Devontae Adams and
it's week in and week out.
Those guys do it every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter if they get doubled, if they get triple teamed, they end up with 100 yards every single game, or they figure out a way to make a big play that you know, counterpost their team to win the game every single week. With A.J. Brown, and I say this respectfully, he's a good player, but sometimes we see a splash here, a splash there, a splash here, then he's hurt. A splash here, a splash there, then he's hurt. So if I'm going to give you all that money, you got to guarantee me that you're going to be on the field. You got to guarantee me that you've got to take over these games. I know Henry's a dog. I know, you know, they got some great players on the Tennessee Titans, but if I'm paying you this kind of money, you got to be a dog and take over.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think you also have to look at the Tannehill factor. Tannehill just, like, he's going to A.J. Brown. When the stuff is hitting the fan, A.J. Brown is his man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something I think you have to look at. But then that begs the question, okay, is Tannehill going to be around after this year? Because you do have these big deals, right? You have this contract. You have Jeffrey Simmons. You're going to have to, you know, Amani Hooker, David Long Jr., a Nate Davis. I mean, guys are just going to continue. And this is what happens when you draft really well. Guys are going to continue to, you know, need contracts and be up for deals. So what happens if you draft Desmond Ridder at 26? You part ways with Tannehill and you save $18 million. Like, it's so now, okay, the value of A.J. Brown, in my opinion, will go up even more because next year, you know, after next year, you're looking at another year of you know, mileage on Derrick Henry. Do you want to continue to give him the ball 800 times a year? I don't know. But for a rookie, you know, a first-year starter, you want to make sure you have a valid, like a legit number one receiver.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, say they draft one of those quarterbacks that we're talking about, like Ridder and Sam Howell or, you know, Pickett, all those guys come in, then all of a sudden, you know, Tannehill doesn't play well, and then they put the rookie in, then what if A.J. Brown's numbers are not off the charts and he has, like, say, 50 catches for 830 yards? Should he demand that much money? Should he demand he should get paid like the elite team? So those are the questions that we have to – questions that need to be answered, but we're not going to find out until this year or next year.
Yeah, and that's why it's I don't know, it's going to be interesting. Just like maybe not get the deal done right now,
but
get it done during the season. Yeah,
the reason why, if I'm AJ Brown, and I'm not saying this is not being selfish, I would want to get paid now.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I want to get paid this year. Because say he goes and gets hurt the second game of the season and he hurts his ankle or his knee, he has zero leverage.
Right
now he has the leverage of, okay, I need to get paid now. And if you don't want to pay me, and I'm just looking at it in the business sense, if you don't want to pay me, we got the Jets, we got Philly, we got Green Bay to have two picks. Give me those two picks, and you know, I'll go to another team and then get paid. So he's in a prime position. But say he comes next year, he gets hurt, then he has zero leverage.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Those are things you work out.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's exactly the case. That's the problem. That is the exact problem. So, yeah, I mean, you're right with that. We'll see what happens. I just say, you know, this team has to make sure that they keep him around, you know, because he's the focal part of their offense, you know, going forward. So we shall see.
Yeah.
You got another one?
No. You just look like Leon Spinks. That's it.
Oh, well, that's all right. I look like Leon Speaks, and you look like Larry Holmes.
When he got hit by Mike Tyson.
Well, no, when he was on the Cadillac, he jumped off the Cadillac. Yo, on that note, man, we out of here.
I appreciate you, man.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD. Speaking on my name, dropping
change, get you changed. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I had to get that Jeffrey Simmons intro because our next guest is actually a friend of Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, we got that never broke again mindset. And I know that's an artist that he likes, man. And it's a pleasure to bring in our next guest, wide receiver, Alabama A&M, D. Anderson. D, what's going on, man?
Man, just back in the hometown, chilling and training, working out and preparing for the NFL draft.
Hey, that's really all it is for you right now. It's all about that, right? Getting ready to take that next step. And, you know, I know it's a big step, but you're ready to take it. And it's going to be interesting watching that whole process play out. So I guess the first thing we could start with is just your size, right? And we're talking about 6'6", 220 pounds. That's pretty big for wide receiver. How did you end up playing that position? Like, what made you, you know, revert to receiver coming up when you first started playing football?
Throughout Pee Wee High School, I was back and forth between quarterback and receiver. So, I mean, I kept on growing. I felt like I outgrew the position of quarterback. I felt like I could do way more than what I was doing at quarterback. So, with the receiver and started making plays, it felt like that was the best fit for me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. At your height, though, it's really interesting, you know, because you got the footwork, too. So let's get into that. There are some challenges there, but how are you able to, you know, despite being a 6'6 guy, be someone that can't be stopped at the line, you know, a press coverage? I know that's something that any receiver, you know, we take that personally. So for you,
right,
how are you able to have that footwork despite being, you know, such a long receiver?
practice and training, like, a main thing that me and my coach emphasized, somebody I grew up training with, Coach Medice, we emphasized the ladder drill. So that's basically, like, give you the first steps to every release that you need. So I put a big emphasis on my releases because I knew I had to be sharp at that. If you can't get off the line, then you can't get open.
I know before you were at Alabama A&M, you were at Oklahoma State, but before that, the LSU days, and what kind of focus on that? First and foremost, you know, how did you end up at LSU? Because there were some other receivers there too, Jamar Chase, right? Justin Jefferson, Terrence Marshall.
Yes, sir.
You guys, you know, were a pretty solid group, but for you personally, how did you end up there?
LSU was one of my bigger offers. I mean, I had Alabama and other big schools, but I wanted to always compete against Alabama, so I chose LSU, and I chose to go play football where I felt best fit for me at the time.
And then knowing, you know, that you were in that room with some other really good guys, I got to ask you, I mean, who had the best hands?
I feel like, it ain't a question. I had the best hands. I still got the best hands.
That's what's up. 2018, 2019, you had 20 receptions, 274 yards, and a touchdown. That was your season at LSU. What particular games would you say stand out, you know, for those who are able to go back to that year and grab that film?
I would say La Tech game, 100%. That was one of my first big games. I almost had 100 yards that game. Went against some pretty talented DBs, Amik Robinson, Sneed, that play for the Chiefs now. You can say Auburn, and you can say Texas A&M, 100%, one of the longest games in college history.
Who were the best corners that you went against? I mean, you could say, you know, some of your teammates at LSU, because, I mean, I would imagine that in itself was like a daily matchup of top players. So I guess we'll say outside of LSU, who were some of the top corners? And then at LSU, who were the top corners?
We're going to start at LSU 100% because, you know, we DBU. I believe purple and gold. That's where I graduated from. So that's why I say we.
Okay.
So I say Derrick Stingley, Tre'Davious White, Dante Jackson, Greedy Williams. It was day in and day out competition with the best DBs in college football and almost NFL right now. So them, and then outside of us, it was two guys I just named, Amik Robinson and Sneed. Dean, he also went to Auburn. And them the guys that I most remember.
Okay. What about Christian Fulton?
Oh, Chris, I can't forget about Chris. Going to be mad at me. Chris Fulton, you – That's a dog right there. I forgot all about him. I'm sorry. But, yeah, him too also.
Well, there's a chance that you guys end up being teammates, right? You know, he's here with the Titans, and I know they're a team that has shown interest in you. We'll get into the pro day in a moment. But so let's go from LSU to Oklahoma State. You were there. Tylan Wallace was the guy. We talked a little bit about Jelani Woods was there with you too. What was that experience like? What are some of the things you pulled from there?
Just overall taking in and learning from Tylan Wallace and Coach Dunn over there. It was a great experience. Didn't get to play there as much over there. Had some health issues and had to have meniscus surgery. So, but it was great time there. Great experience. Great learning from them guys. And it was a great time.
And we're talking to D. Anderson, Alabama A&M wide receiver. Ladies and gentlemen, 6'6", 220 pounds. We'll get into the pro day in a moment. But so then you went from Oklahoma State to Alabama A&M, and you met a guy by the name of Akil Glass, and you guys, you lit it up, man. So that experience there for you. I know the grind of playing at an HBCU, man. I played at Delaware State, then I ended up at Cheney University. The original HBCU in this country, man, it's a different grind. So I got to ask you, like, what was it that allowed you to push through it? Like, how much did you really discover how much you love football?
I 100% knew I loved football when I had to. For my first 2 weeks at Alabama A&M, I ain't going to go into it. It ain't the story time, but I was sleeping on the floor and stuff like that at Alabama A&M. But I had to really dig deep and just find myself and pray and just really tune in to how much I love football, because it's harder being at HBCU than at a big-time program with nice facilities.
Yeah. Yeah, where you get one pair of cleats for the full year. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Two gloves, exactly. Two pair of gloves, if that. Yeah, it's a different experience, and you really do find how much you love for football. What would you say you love most about the game?
Just being able to come on the field and show your dominance and show your physicality and show that at any given moment I can dominate any and everybody in front of me.
And that's something that you did basically on a weekly basis. Man, I mean, you look at the season, right? 33 receptions, 493 yards, 12 touchdowns. You know, a lot of people point to the Mississippi Valley State game. That's definitely one. Jackson State, I think, was a good one, too, because of the recognition that organization gets. And you went in there and, you did your thing. Three receptions, 61 yards. You had a 42-yarder in that game as well. What would you say are the best games for people to watch from Alabama A&M?
I say you just named one, Mississippi Valley. Only reason I don't say Jackson is because we got tore off the bone that game.
Yeah.
We could say Grambling State. You could say Tuskegee. Each game that I'm naming, I scored three times in each game. So I say those are my best games for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And clearly, you were the guy that Akil Glass liked to go to. So that QB-receiver relationship, what was the key to just establishing that trust? Because it was, a lot of times we were just like, man, forget it. D is down there somewhere. I'm going to put this thing up there.
I say practice, because like everybody say practice makes perfect. I say practice because we go to practice and the plays that I made in the game were also plays that I was making consistently in practice. So I say the consistency in practice and consistency in knowing that I'm going to catch and trust that I'm going to catch and just do what I do with the ball.
When did you hit that point where you felt like your game was going to transfer to the NFL? I would imagine at some point, that was the discovery that you had. When did you feel that?
I say coming into my freshman year, of course, I always dreamed of going to the NFL, but that junior year when I had 20 receptions and a touchdown and 274 yards something, I felt that year that I would have a strong chance of making it and going to the NFL.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Growing up, who were some of the players that you liked to watch?
I say my favorite was, of course, Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson because of his size, and also A.J. Green because of his size and his measurables.
He was smooth, too. You bring that same smoothness to the field?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I ain't going to say of course. I'm humble, but yes, sir, I most definitely bring that smoothness to the field. But the smoothness and the swagger to the field.
Yeah, speaking of that swagger, I know at your bowl game, funny story. Okay, so here's the deal, right? Emory Hunt, football game plan.
Emory Hunt.
Yeah, he was there at the bowl game, and I was talking to him about you. He was there for the week of practices. And I mentioned your name, and he was like, man, this dude was turned up. You know it's bad when you talking trash from the other side of the field during in stretch line.
Oh, yes, sir, 100%.
He said you had one DB that you kept going over to and you were talking trash, and you would tell him you were going to give him that work, and then you proceeded to give him that work during practice. So it's clear you got that dog in you. Tell me about that experience, man, how that week was for you.
The week was great. I mean, I felt like all the ACCU players came out, but I feel like I came out and dominated, did what I had to do, showed the scouts firsthand what they needed to see from me. And like you said, I was talking trash the whole week, but only reason you can talk trash if you back it up, and I felt like my game backed it up throughout the whole week of practice.
No doubt about it. And then you move on to the HBCU. You were at the HBCU Combine, right?
Yes, sir, I did. I just ran routes at the Combine.
Okay, you just ran routes there. What was some of the feedback you got at that event?
I was getting a lot of feedback just saying that you never know, you might come into the league and possibly move to tight end, possibly stay a receiver, just be on lookout and be able to gain weight and continue to move how I move with the weight on.
Yeah, now that's critical, being able to put that weight on and not lose speed. And speaking of speed, you had your pro day. Now, there were some scouts who had you, some clocks that had you in the 4.44 range, the high 4.44 range.
Yes, sir.
4.5 was the number that was posted. Your vertical was solid, 6.5, 218, so the size is there. I know the Titans were, pretty much the primary team that was, in attendance there. How did that event go, and what's some of the things that they said to you, once you got done?
First, it was a blessing for just the Titans to be out there. I mean, all the other HBCUs had more people, but we were blessed with one team. That's all we need is one person to like us. So that was great. The feedback that I got from them is exactly what I just said. They told me, hey, man, if we like you, would you be able to move the tight end? Would you be able to move and gain weight and do this and that? And I was like, yes, sir, no problem.
Hmm. Well, I tell you what, they have something local here. George Kittle actually started it. Travis Kelce is a part of it. I think they're doing it this year. It's called Tight End University. They had, different guys from across the league, Darren Waller and different tight ends come in, and they just, it was just like a weekly summit. So if that is something that you have to do, there could be a resource that you could tap into. Tight end wise, if you were to move to that, who are some guys that you see? I mean, I think Darren Waller is a good one. I mean, he's a bit heavier, but I think he's another receiver that was big and moved into the tight end position. Are there any guys that you think of that can kind of be just something for you to follow?
Darren Waller, 100%. That's somebody that I love watching. I love his style of play. So, and you can't go wrong with saying Kelce.
Yeah.
He
runs those routes, man. He runs those routes. So what's next for you? I know, so Dallas Cowboys, you'll be at their local pro day. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I will be at their local pro day this Friday.
Okay. What are you looking to do there? And anything in particular as far as showing them what you could do?
No, sir. I'll just go out, show them anything that they want to see. Of course, I don't know the itinerary, so I don't know what
actually
we're going to be doing, but just going out and doing everything that they asked them. They asked me to go to tight end and show them a route from tight end. I love to do it. If they tell me to stay a receiver and run routes or do whatever, I love doing that.
Well, the good thing now is the tight end and receiver position is being meshed so much, right? And then you have the opportunity to still line up over top of the numbers and do what you're experienced doing. So that'll definitely help you. I would imagine those 50-50 balls, you call them, 95 and 5, 90 and 10?
We call them 98
and 2. Oh, 98 and 2, even higher. I like
98
that.
98 and 2. Yes, sir.
I like that. D, before we get you out of here, go ahead and let them know where they can find you on social media. So that way that's on there. And, we make sure we keep track of how this whole season's going for you.
Okay. You can follow me on Instagram. Let me do anything. Stamped 11, STAMPT, 11 underscore. And then my Twitter handle is just DAnderson21.
There you have it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, not really a lot of publicity for him, but I've seen it firsthand. He could play.
Yes.
So definitely keep in touch, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We want to keep this thing rolling, man. I always like to talk shop with the offensive linemen, especially, when you look at this Titans team. They're going to need to add some help up front, and our next guest is someone that could definitely bring some help. He'll be someone that you know is going to benefit some team. We're going to go to TCU, bring in offensive lineman, tackle, Obinna Eze. Obinna, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. I can't complain. It's going great.
No doubt about it. Hey, man, this is a local product, ladies and gentlemen. Davidson Academy, appreciate that. You know, so I guess let's go back to your high school days, you know, playing football and, you know, playing ball here in Nashville. How was that experience for you, and how much did that kind of prepare you to get ready for the next level?
It was great for me, man, because it's like my first contact with football was here in Nashville. You know, I didn't play football in Nigeria at all.
Right.
And so it really, really helped me because, like, I ran into the – like, I came in contact with the right people, great football minds. My foster parents lived in Nashville. My high school was in Nashville. And so, like, my football coach, Jonathan Quinn, he was great, playing the NFL as quarterback for a while. And so he was a great football mind. And so, like, it's like – for me, being able to learn football the first time, I came in contact with some really, really great football mind, and it just set the standard high for me and just helped prepare me just going from high school to college and even right now aiming to go to the pros.
Yeah, and then looking at early in that process, right, because there's always a transition. Like, football is a sport outside of rugby. There probably aren't many sports as physical as that. So for you, you know, moving from a guy who played a lot of basketball and did that, you know, how did you learn to kind of embrace that contact, especially in the position that you played?
I mean, embracing the contact, yeah, like I had to learn that, you know, and just part of it for me, I felt like it just came with just loving football. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you love basketball, you got to be willing to catch a few elbows to your face every now and then,
yeah.
You know. And so it just – when you love something, you got to love everything that came with it. So – and also, like, it's just like football just kind of translated the kind of person I was as a basketball player, you know. Like, I wasn't a 40-point-a-game kind of guy. Like, I was a defensive mastermind. Like, I could guard any position, you know. I could bang. I was physical in basketball, you know, rebounds, block, you know what I'm saying, put back shots. And so – that's who I was, and so the offensive lineman that translated, you know. I think for me what was a little bit hard was in basketball you wouldn't have to play tall, you know what I'm saying? Football you have to play low.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm not a very small person, and so that's probably what I feel like was hardest to translate for me, you know. But I mean, like I said earlier, I had great people around me and they were just able to just help me transition all the way, but in high school and college.
That's awesome. So, you know, you mentioned love and football. What was it that made you gravitate towards? I mean, obviously your size, they're like, hey, man, you should play football. But, I mean, like, what made you gravitate and really develop the love for football? And what do you love most about the game now?
Like I said earlier, I gravitated around football because it's like, it felt like an extension of, like, myself. I felt like I found a new this part of myself that, you know, I've never met before, you know. And it happened in the strangest of ways because I'm from Nigeria. We don't really play football over there, you know. And so... but also, what I just love about the game is, like, I'm a team oriented kind of person. I'm a family oriented person. Like, I'm a family guy, you know. And I like to hang around strangers a lot. I'm always around people that I know and people that I rock with. And so football is kind of like, it's that game where it's like you could be a 5-star prospect in basketball and put up 50, and it's like everybody else put up 3 points and y'all gonna win every day. You know what I'm saying? But like football, it doesn't matter if you're a 5-star quarterback. If your receiver is not right, your offensive line is not right, your defense is not right, you're going to come out there and lose every game you ever play. You know, so I really, really like that because it was like it's the ultimate team sport where even though everybody gets to help everybody, but there's a boundary to what you can do. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I really, really enjoyed that because I just take pride in being somebody that can be dependent on and relied on. You know, so, but I also like the physicality of football, too. Like I said, in the basketball guy, I wasn't one of the pretty boys. You know what I'm saying? Cause I didn't score 30 points. I didn't have great handles. I did the step back shots. I didn't do none of that. I just played strong defense. You know what I'm saying? And so that also translated well for me in football. And that's kind of what I love about the game. This is the camaraderie of it, you know, the physicality of it, and just the nature of the game and the fact that it makes everybody feel valued. Like all 11 guys are valuable, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, that's 100% right. And that is something that you know, is very different about football. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Despite the late start, you were able to get into the opening, Nike's opening. What was that experience like? And you know, that was where you got to go against and see other top high school prospects. What was that like for you?
Man, I think that right there was really where I was like, you know, there's like 20 offensive linemen that make it to the opening in the country, you know what I'm saying? So I think the opening was really where I just like, for the first time, just kind of like I love football and everything, but that was the first time I kind of like looked at myself in the mirror and was like, I'm going to make it to the league. Like, you know, and that was that moment for me right there at Nike, just because it's like being around all these guys, and most of them are in the league right now. And I'm like, okay, this is like what it takes to be in the league. Like, these guys are the tough guys. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going all the way. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't because I doubted myself, but it's like I was just so new to the game. I wasn't very exposed. I didn't know a lot about the game. But just getting to Nike and competing, and I was like, it's like the level of competition there just made me kind of love football more and like kind of want it more. And so that's where I would say, you know, for the first time I told myself, like, I'm going all the way. And I don't care. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm going all the way. So that probably for me was at Nike.
And we're talking to TCU offensive lineman Obenna Eze. Next step for you was Memphis. You stayed in state and you ended up starting, 2 years there, starting at left tackle as well. What was that like? How did that happen for you just as far as growing into that starting role and maintaining it for the next 2 years?
It was definitely a lot of hard work and discipline. You know, my offensive line coach in Memphis, Dan, you know, he's a head coach now, but when I was there, he was my offensive line coach was Ryan Silverfield. You know, he's an NFL guy, so he wasn't really the kind of guy that plays the college politics or, oh, he's a 5-star, he's a 4-star, so they get a shot first. You know, he wasn't that kind of guy. And so he was the kind of guy, he was going to put it out there. Everybody was going to work hard and, you know, you were going to earn what you keep, you know. And so my freshman year, you know, I wasn't very, very strong in the weight room. And I just, because it's like, my freshman year in college was really like my first or second year lifting weights ever in my life. So I just had a long way to go physically. And I also had to learn the game, develop technique, just create a great foundation, like, for me as a football player. Mm-hmm. You know, my rest of freshman year, you know, I played some snaps, and I wasn't a starter, but I was like the number one swing guy on the O-line, left or right tackle. You know, and so when he got to my chance to, like, get a starting job, you know, I took it serious and I valued it because I always wasn't a starter, you know. So definitely my job as a starter was earned through sweat, blood, and just hard work and hours of preparation. And it didn't come easy. Like, they didn't make it easy for me, which kind of made me who I am today.
Yeah, and that probably made you appreciate the whole process. And then you ended up at TCU, and it's funny because – anytime, like, there's a tall off, like, TCU just always has your type of prospect, right? A tall, athletic offensive lineman. They always have that, man. I look back to, you know, my days when I was covering the Eagles. I was in Philly covering them, and Halapulavati Vaitai, you know, they had him, and then they had Pryor, and it's crazy how that works. And now here you are. So as far as TCU, what was it that made you go to TCU, and how much different was it playing there than it was for playing at Memphis?
I went to TCU because it's just like, you know, like I'm a big believer in structure, consistency, organization. Like, I want to be a part of something that's been there for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I spoke to Coach Patterson and my O-line coach at TCU, Jared Anderson, like, you know, those guys felt like, you know, that's what I would want, you know what I'm saying, to play for, and just a great culture, you know. Coach P is definitely not one of those guys that cares about if you came out of high school a 5-star, he doesn't really care about that. You know, so that's a similar trait that I want, and I wanted where I could get coached and coached hard regardless of whatever I thought I was coming in TCU. And, you know, TCU is really like OLU. Like, TCU is putting out offensive linemen, like, year after year after year. You know what I'm saying? And I really sat back and I thought about it. I was like, man, that's a lot. That's really true. Like, TCU is, like, throwing them out in the league. And so I was like, they're definitely doing something great there. So, I definitely took a visit, you know, and liked it. And I felt like that was a great place for me to go on. So I did.
And so the difference between Memphis and TCU, it wasn't really much. It was kind of the same offense. TCU was not as complex and didn't have as much variations as Memphis. But it was like, it was really the same thing, because it's like I had learned when I came out of Memphis, like I didn't just learn Memphis offense, like I learned football properly. Like I learned proper football. Like I could play in any scheme, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so whether it be a power counter, ISO, duo, outside, inside zone kind of scheme, it doesn't matter what it is. I could play in any scheme, you know. And so for me, like it didn't really matter. The position was easy. I think probably the hardest thing was just moving to Texas and living in a whole new place, you know. And so that's probably the hardest thing, is just leaving my friends in Memphis and all of that. So, but every other thing was pretty smooth.
Man, they ain't had that hot chicken down there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. Though. They didn't have the hot chicken. Or they didn't even have the wings from Memphis either.
Oh man, so you were in bad shape, but that probably helped with the weight side of things, I guess, huh?
Nah, I mean, I'm gonna say it was for me. I'm always good at controlling what I eat.
Yeah,
you know? Like actually, when I got to TCU, I wanted to put on weight, you know, because it's just like I just felt like I just wanted to just, you know, I think when I came to TCU, I was just craving just being a mauler, like just somebody who ran people over. You know what I'm saying? And it's like at TCU, at Memphis, I was a lot smaller. You know, we run a fast-paced offense. You know what I'm saying? So I was like 310. At TCU, I really got up to 330, but it was a solid, healthy 330. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like I was loving it, just being able to like cruise through people. You know what I'm saying? And so, but yeah, that was definitely great. And you know, I talked to my weight room guy, my weight room coach, and it was like Coach Summers, and we had a great plan for me, and it worked out really well for me.
Yeah, that's what's up. And we're talking to Obenna Eze, offensive lineman, TCU. Next step for you was the Shrine Week. You know, you got to go to Vegas and experience that and be out there. How was the competition there? And, how do you feel you fared out there?
I thought I did really well. You know, the competition was definitely really good. I thought I did really well. You know, I thought I did a good job of, you know, taking coaching. And it's like, There were NFL coaches there, and they were teaching us things, and I'm just being able to be a sponge and just soak up things, mm-hmm. you know. But ultimately, I think I did a good, I did well there, and I definitely gave myself a shot.
Who would you say are some of the better guys that you've gone against, pass rushers that you've gone against, Memphis, TCU, and even at Shrine Week?
I would definitely say in Memphis, the best pass rusher I ever met in Memphis was probably my Jay Sanders from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really good. And then at TCU, the best pass rusher I ever met at TCU is probably dude from Iowa State, Will McDonald. I think he's very talented, you know, but he's growing into himself right now. I think here in the next year, he's going to be serious, like really serious.
Interesting. And you mentioned earlier, right, about playing basketball and how you always had to play tall and then moving to football where your pad level is so important. How is that for you? You know, as a guy that's you know, above 6'6", how is that for you as far as being able to maintain that pad level and be able to drive and, you know, not be too high coming out of your stance?
I mean, it's, you know, offensive line is just repetition. Everything you do as an offensive lineman is just repetition, you know. And so that's just what I do. You know, I get reps and reps and reps, and I just train myself to be able to play and just get underneath people that are way smaller than me. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, ain't really nothing to it but just work. Like, there's no magic formula to having good leverage. Like, good leverage is intentional work. Like, you intentionally squeeze your body down to get underneath people. Your body ain't going to do it, you know what I'm saying, especially for a tall guy like me, you know. So it's just work and just being intentional about it every day, you know. That's really it.
I love that. And then you get to the combine, and, you know, I'm sure that was a crazy experience, as it is for all prospects. What's some of the feedback you got when you were there at the combine?
The combine is not really a place where you get a lot of feedback, you know what I'm saying? It's a place where you get to go showcase yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a job interview. You're not necessarily going to get a lot of feedback, at least I didn't, you know. But I had a lot of great interviews, talked to a lot of teams, you know. I thought I did good with my interviews, you know, with just everything on the field, workouts, you know. It was really, really good, you know. I think my surreal moment in the combine was really, like, right before I ran the 40.
And it just kind of really, really hit me like I'm really here. Because it's like every year you watch that 40 on TV, and it's like this time it's not TV. This time it's really me. Like I'm out here by myself in person, you know. And so that's probably when it really, really like got big for me that, wow, this is the combine, you know. And God being so grateful, graceful and merciful, like I felt like I ran a good time, you know. And so, yeah.
Nice. And you're a Nashville guy, right? That's your home here in America. So I got to ask you, man, the local team, have you been in contact with them? Have they, you know, I would imagine that at Shrine Week they talk to you, right?
Yeah, I spoke to the Titans, but at the Shrine and at the Combine, you know, and it went good, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, like, you just don't know anything to whoever calls your name on draft day, you know, and so that's really all there is to it.
Are you going to be at their local pro day? Have you gotten to that yet?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Okay, there you go, right there. And then before we get you out of here, just, I mean, tell the listeners, you know, what type of player, whatever team, look, we'll say the Titans. Tell the listeners what type of player the Titans would be getting if they were to select you.
I think the thing that I pride myself the most is just character, the character of the person that I am, you know. I'm very dependable, I'm very reliable, I'm very, 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 very intelligent. Way more intelligent than I'm giving credit for. And I'm very, very physical and dominant, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't pick up football and play football this long as a starter just because I got lucky or just because I was athletic. Like, I actually get my hands on people and, like, people move, you know. And so, you know, but also I'm an offensive lineman, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, I'm a complete player. That's the kind of guy I am. Whatever you need from me, I'm going to do. You need me to block one-on-one, I will. You need me to be part of a scheme, I will. You need me to double team, like, I will. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it don't really matter, you know. I'm really, really everything you would want in the offensive lineman. That's what I think of myself, and it's on tape. That's who I feel like I am.
There you have it right there. Obinna Eze, TCU offensive lineman. Left tackle or right tackle, he could do both. So brings the best of both worlds. I appreciate you coming on. I wish you the best as this whole process continues to go on for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it.
This is David Long when I'm talking with TD. Yo, I ain't a player,
I just crush a lot. Jump on top of the rock. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. This music is only right for our next guest. He ain't a player, but he crushes a lot. If you watch his game, you'll see that. We're going to go to Oklahoma, bring in offensive lineman Marquise Hayes. Marquise, what's good with you, man?
Hey, how you doing, boss? Pleasure to be here.
For sure, man. I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, like the song said, I ain't a player, but I crush a lot. And that's what you do. You crush a lot. So I guess we could start there. You look at just the way you play, right, and watching, especially getting the opportunity to watch that end zone, the end zone copy. That tight end zone. I mean, I see you finishing blocks. I see you playing with a nasty disposition. You're always going and looking for work. How did you get that mindset? Like, where does that come from? What drives you to play like that?
Well, I'll probably just say me, determination. I mean, growing up, I always got pushed to different limits. Even though I felt like sometimes I needed to get pushed to the limits, I did. I felt like just growing up, just getting that passion for the game, just waking up hungry for every play I get to try to put my thoughts in position to dominate the line of scrimmage.
One of the things that you said that really stood out to me, and I loved it when I heard it, you said it's either their house or my house. Go ahead and explain to the listeners, you know, what you mean when you say that.
I'll probably say my house or my house because it's just my mother, my father, things that they need, family. Just knowing our background, not too many people make it from St. Louis. Just my structure of where I come from, just that on my back, it just put me in the motivation to it's either them or theirs.
And speaking of St. Louis, like I know a guy by the name of Barrett Brooks. He's from St. Louis, and you know, he always had this mindset that, you know, being nasty and aggressive and that type of stuff when he played. Is that something that just kind of like is ingrained in you coming from St. Louis?
I believe so. Some people got different traits. I'm a Barrett Brooks big guy also. he dominated things like that. He's just probably a big guy passion. You got to have that on the O-line, the D-line, and seeing greats come before me, or watching Orlando Pace at the Rams growing up, just different things like that. It's just the, like, that determination of will to put on somebody else's, you got to have it at this position.
And how much does that transfer, Marquise, to being a tone setter, right? It's something that is an offensive lineman you want to do, right? Like, you want to go out there and let them know, this is going to be a long day for you. How do you, kind of channel that into being a tone setter?
I love being a tone setter. If you go out there and set the first punch or to set the first play, especially if it's a big-time play and you get to talk a little stuff after that, that changed the game. It starts the game off in somebody's head to know that what they got for the long route of the game. So I try to put that on from first play to the last play, first quarter to fourth quarter. It plays a big role because the tone setter you need for a team, especially in the O-line. I play left guard, obviously. So I feel like we always start off with that gap of pull with Coach Riley, and I'll pull and set the tone and hopefully go to the crib and we turn up a little bit right there.
There you go right there. We're talking to Marquise Hayes, Oklahoma offensive lineman. Another thing that comes with that, Marquise, is imposing your will. So when you're – and you look at like Oklahoma, man, you guys run a lot of plays in on offense, right? So when you're going through that process – like, have you at times been able to feel where it's like, yeah, I could really tell, like, I'm imposing my will. I'm beginning to get to a point where this guy, he shouldn't even be on the field with me.
You could get like that sometimes. When you get in your trench like that, sometimes you lose habits. Sometimes you got to put in your mind frame, whoever you don't play is who you're going to play. So me down there in the college level, sometimes I looked at me on the next level if I'm going to get somebody that's, I feel like, not to the competition. But I never can't look past competition because it's about yourself and what you do and how you prepare. But definitely, especially sometimes when you lose battles like Tulane, you think that it's like that and they try to come back and win, you got to tattle back up. So just always keep that energy going.
And then you look at just, the program that you played for, right, and the coach that you played for, Lincoln Riley, a lot of gap, a lot of zone schemes. How much do you feel that kind of like prepared you for the next level?
Yeah, Coach B and Coach Riley, great. Speaking about Coach B, Coach Benimbo, he puts everything on paper, especially with O-line. Like I said, a lot of mentality that I got comes from him also. He ingrained that to his O-line. But it definitely plays a part with Coach Riley also. The schemes that they put up made me better in this process, just going up to the board at Senior Bowl and the Combine and different things like that and talking and different things like that and just knowing different schemes. Oklahoma, like you said, we do everything from gap, from zone, to passing the ball pro. So it's about everything up there, so it's the best in the business.
Is there one or the other that you're more comfortable in? I'm not saying like you're uncomfortable in gap and comfortable in zone, but is there one or the other that you feel like really showcases your skill set better?
I feel like, yeah, pulling is me. Mm-hmm. Like everybody knows that me pulling in gap scheme and stuff like that. I want to say I'm more comfortable. People know I need to get more work in zone scheme, but I can get more work in gap scheme also, so I always can get better. But I love pulling and different things like that, but I want my zone scheme for sure.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about at the Combine. Like, I saw you pull a few times and just like really blow up ends and do the things that you need to do. So I'm glad you mentioned that. When you first got to Oklahoma, because you weigh in, where are you now? What, like 330,
335? No, I'm 320.
Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me. You even more lean, 320. Yeah. When you first got to Oklahoma, I know you were like around the 350s. How much did working with Coach Jerry Schmidt, like how much did that really, get you on that program of being right and very cautious and watching your weight, like making weight week in and week out?
Yeah, I feel like that was a big thing in my decision. I came in 350 when I was a freshman, so I didn't play part of my first 2 years. I was sitting behind Ben Powers and those other guys. When they left, I had to click in, but Smitty played a big role in there. I had him for my first year before Stoops left, and he went to Texas A&M. But he definitely ingrained me to get better because when he left, I was about 340, so I lost about 10 pounds since he'd been there. So other than that, I feel like to start mastering different things, learning technique about nutrition. But that was the big thing for me, and I got Wiley, Coach Wiley, that's at USC right now. I just left Oklahoma, and he ingrained in me the nutrition side, so I had to take off. So that's why at the end of my career, I came back for my fifth year, and I came back 10 pounds lighter, flexible, and tried to get the second and third level better. So lately, I've just been from the 318 to 320 mark. So it definitely played a big part.
So ideally, that's where you want to be, the 318, 320 in that range when you get to the league?
Yeah, I'm just sitting at 320 right now, so I get on different Zoom calls and a team tells me 325 and then another team tells me 315. So I just want to say the five-pound mark from different ways because different teams got different schemes that
right.
they want to put me in different weight schemes. So I just say a five-pound difference.
Okay, that wiggle up or wiggle down, that makes sense to me. Yeah, I figure that. Oklahoma has kind of become like offensive lineman U, I guess we could call it, right? You look at Trent Williams, obviously. So many guys. Recently, Creed Humphrey, and I know that's a close friend of yours. What's some of the advice you've been able to get from him?
A lot of them guys, just talking to them guys and being up there already, just sustaining that OU already set off a good pedestal for me, and just to know that wherever I go is up from there. I feel like them big-time guys like OB, Cody Ford, Kareem, I'm still coaching all those guys, Bobby Evans, those guys, Drew Samia. It's just different things like that that they tell me just to keep going with technique because it's not about what I do there. It's about what I do by myself and alone and when I keep working and just playbooks and stuff like that. So they said, oh, you're going to put you on a good start. You got to keep going up, basically.
And speaking of OU putting you on a good start, a thing that it seems like you do a good job processing and diagnosing things, you know, whether it's stunts or games that you're going to see up front. How did you develop that ability to process that and execute, against it?
Yeah, I'd say that was different because, you know, coming from high school, you don't see no stunts like that. Yeah. No twists. You was really man on man. So it was definitely different when I come in as a freshman. But it definitely took me a little minute. But the process of I feel like the 3-tech and the 5-tech of just looking at alignment, I feel like I learned it on the later year after my first or second year of college. And you can just tell if it's the down, the third down, like different things like that, or T's or ET's or what they're about to do. So I feel like that's a big thing that created Oklahoma, like I said, almost higher pedestal because I feel like Coach B ingrained that to passing it off and looping and stuff like that. And Oklahoma defense with Grinch did all these pass stunts the last 3 years. So I just seen every pickup and blitz. So when the game comes, it's easy to me.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff right there. When it comes to the Senior Bowl, I know you got to experience that. What's your big takeaway from that? How much did you like being able to go against other top level talented players, one on ones and those type of things?
That was definitely an experience of a lifetime. I mean, just younger, looking at that game and looking at the big time names that come through there, I just felt like that it was a big time thing to go out there versus the other competition, especially I lined up versus Big Ten teams and practice all day and different teams like that. But it was definitely the players were going to the game and going to get some SEC guys and see how I could pair it up. But it definitely was a stepping stone for me, like I said. I feel comfortable going in, and I feel more comfortable coming out. I definitely could have did better at different things, but I definitely feel the momentum going to the league that I got the better stuff.
Any particular matchups that you had that stood out to you?
Matchups, I'd say Travis Jones was pretty good.
Yeah.
The dude from
Connecticut.
UConn, he's pretty good to me. Logan Hall from Houston again. OU guys stood out. I wanted to get their names on my team. I wanted to get them all practice.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I feel like we was really going at it all around.
Yeah. And then you get to the combine, you do your thing there. That's when you get to, get those in-depth visits with the NFL teams. How was that for you? Like, was that just kind of like one of those things where you're like, yo, man, like, I'm really about to be where I dreamed of being?
Yeah, that's what's crazy. I meant to say last time you just asked me what was the best thing from the Senior Bowl. I feel like that we sat down with all 32 teams. So coming back to the combine, I feel like that was a breaking shell from the Senior Bowl. So the combine was really easy for me. Not the easiest. It was just like I met with all 32 teams. So I was seeing familiar faces all over again, mm-hmm. especially the scouts. But it was definitely a big time thing, meeting coaches and seeing the teams and talking to GMs, just seeing the whole room like that because you always – you prepare for it all break, just watching videos on YouTube, you see interviews and stuff like that from that. And seeing Carson Wentz in there with a whole room of people while you talking. So it definitely was an honor. But it was the broken shell of the Senior Bowl, and then the pro day came around, seeing all of them again. So I felt like they tired of me, I guess.
Well, if they're tired of you, that means they showed a lot of interest in you because they've seen you a whole bunch of times. Did you get the opportunity to meet with the Titans at all?
No, I sat down really with every team, for real. I sat down with basically every team at the Senior Bowl. I believe I sat down times at the Senior Bowl for sure, because we sat down with all 32 teams. So I've been talking about majority of everybody, for real.
Got you. Any particular, like, unique experiences you remember from any of the meetings that you had?
No, not really. I feel like just different things, just asking, would you eat a cat or a dog, or different things like that.
They always ask that.
Eggshell. How would you eat an eggshell?
Really? How did you answer that one?
I mean, I just said I'd eat the whole egg whole. I mean, I guess, without peeling it apart.
Knock it out with one swipe. Well, before we get you out of here, let's look at just, you know, some guys in the league who you feel they kind of exemplify what you want to be on the football field. Who are some guys that you could think of?
I say Quinn Nelson. I really like Quinn Nelson. I watched him when I came back and different things like that. Just watching how his hand placement was and how he finished. But the thing I liked about him was that he's going to put himself in good position and technique, which I lack at sometimes, which is putting myself in bad technique before I want to try to maul somebody or finish them. So I kind of put those two together. But Quinn Nelson really was good. And then Trent Williams' energy. But I thought he went to OU, so I always just watched him. But I know he played tackle a lot. But, I mean, his energy that he comes with and finishes, and his mentality is crazy also.
Without a doubt. Well, Marquise, I appreciate you coming on. You are a guy, you know, anytime – you know, I talk O-line and prospects to match the Titans. Your name is one of the first to come out of my mouth. So I appreciate you coming on. Give me the opportunity to talk some shop with you, man. Take care with everything that you got going on. I know there's visits and all that stuff, man. I wish you the best on all those.
Yes, sir. The honor's all mine. I appreciate you for having me on, boss.
So that was Marquise Hayes, guard, Oklahoma. Folks, I think he's absolutely an option for the Titans. At pick number 90, that would be a value pick. But you heard it. He's always looking for work. He plays with a pissed-off mindset. That's how you want offensive linemen to be. So shout-out Marquise Hayes. Shout-out D. Anderson, Alabama A&M wide receiver. The Titans were at his pro day. And we can't forget Obinna Eze, the local product, Davidson Academy. Shout him out. I appreciate each of those guys for tuning in. Shout out Chris Sanders for jumping on Talking Shop, Elijah Campbell for making this work, and each of you for tuning in. I really appreciate each week that you guys rock with us. Thanks for continuing to do that. Any of you who haven't done so before, already, go ahead and subscribe. Talking with TD, rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Good night.